Join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Well, as I mentioned a short while ago, Carte Blanche did a story last night on the spiraling food costs that we're being faced with, and they investigated how you can feed your family on a limited budget. One of the people they spoke to was Mervyn Abrams from the Pietermaritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group, which tracks the cost of 44 essential food items across the country. Their baseline basket now costs 4,609 rand. That's up by nearly 500 rand from last year. And the group says COVID first impacted food prices, but before we could even recover, global food and energy costs began spiraling into an affordability crisis. Let's talk now to the producer that put that story together. I'm joined on the line by Sophia Ferropides. Sophia, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Amy. How are you?
Well, a little bit depressed today. How are you?
I'm in load shedding, so it's great. I'm sitting here waiting for the power to come back on, which it hasn't. Well, so it's been really rough for everyone. I think, you know, we're talking about food costs, but the cost of what's happening to the economy with regards to electricity is going to make it even worse.
And this blooming petrol price increase that we've just learned about a few minutes ago as well.
Yeah, I think it's really hard. I don't know how we're going to cope. People seem to be going about their days, but for me, even researching the story, I found like an underlying depression, like a sort of giving up feeling. Even though we're quite resilient as people, and South Africans are resilient, but it's all getting a bit much.
There's that word again, resilient. We did we had a conversation about this last week. Yes, South Africans are always told that we're resilient, but sometimes there are many of us that are tired of being resilient.
Well, I just don't know how people are going to make things stretch even further. I mean, personally, I put 400 rand petrol in my car the other day and it's gone, like literally, and I haven't gone very far. So I don't know how much more we can stretch what we don't have. And that's the thing, is like, I think what I've sort of discovered is that what are people going to have to do without?
Exactly.
And that's really, it's a mindset change. Because I think that, you know, especially you know, we fed this idea that we have expectation, but we have to change the level of expectation in order to even get to the next level. So if you can do without things, then maybe you can achieve something, you know. So that's the crazy thing. Like the one case study I interviewed, I mean, she's done without a lot so that she can get her law degree, so that she can even look at possibly getting more income in so that she can actually feed her family.
I saw that, Sophia, in your segments. One of the things that she's had to sacrifice is taking her children out and entertaining them. She said she's got four children. She can no longer afford to take them to play parks or movies or that kind of thing. So she's bought a pool table for home and they must just keep themselves entertained at home. Did you see other families making similar sacrifices when you were researching the story?
Absolutely. And there are lots of, you know, the crazy, I mean, people sent lots of tips on how they, you know, bulk buying and how they are, you know, trying to reduce the intake of meat. You know, so a lot of people are only having meat once a week. They're going for more plant-based diets. And that's, I suppose, the middle income earners, right?
Yeah.
But when you go down the food chain, it becomes even more dire, because what happens is that, you know, buying just the transport to go to a Pick and Pay or to a big store is now going to cost you more, right? If you're in the poorer community, so you're buying from your spouses or from the sides of the road, and those costs, the cost of those foods are generally more expensive than if you're buying at a bulk store. So there isn't really a solution, except that people are trying to grow things in their gardens, if you have one, or in a spot.
Yeah.
I did a story a couple of years ago where people, you know, you can have a garden in a box and things like that. And I've tracked the food narrative for quite a couple of years. It just seems that this time around, it's really crushing for people. Yeah.
Sophia, your story did focus quite a bit on the middle class. And I think for our listeners, just to elaborate on who that is, because I was quite shocked to learn the bracket that middle class covers.
Well, you see, so there's a thing called, it is by Feldrew. It's called the income comparison tool. So it really looks, and StatUSA also has similar information. So the middle class in South Africa is quite a broad range. So from earning from between 15,000 to 42,000 rand a month. Now, a lot of people have a very skewed idea of what a middle class person earns. And that's really the middle classes in South Africa. And the minute you're starting to push inflation and all these food costs, those people earning 15,000 rand a month are going to go into the poverty bracket.
Yeah.
Because they're not keeping up. And sorry, what was really a frightening statistic for me is that 9% of South Africans are living on what they call the living wage. So the living wage is, I think, 7,700 rand a month. And that below that is the rest of South Africa. So only 9% of people are living between that 7,700 rand and 42,000 rand a month bracket. And then, that's 8%. Then the 1% are earning over 48,000 rand a month.
Yeah.
So that's why the middle class is so, it's a precarious space. Because anything, and these are the people that are living in debt, that have the credit cards, that are possibly buying food on credit. That's another thing that I found out, is how many people are actually borrowing, you buying on credit to feed your family.
If you've just tuned in, my name's Amy McIver. I'm standing in for Pippa Hudson, and I'm in conversation with Carte Blanche producer Sophia Ferropidis. We're talking about her segment that aired last night about the spiraling costs of food. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're welcome to do so. Give us a call on 021-446-0567, or you can send us a message on 072-567-1567. Sophia, another thing that I found interesting in your segment was that many consumers are now having to give up items that are considered luxury items. But what was interesting to me is that cooking oil is now considered a luxury item. I mean, for me, that would be a basic necessity.
And it is. I mean, it literally, I think a 2-liter cooking oil is costing 114 rand. So now you have to not cook with it or decide how you're going to make a meal. And those are, and again, I'll go back to the people. There's 57% of South Africans living under 1,400 rand or a month. So now look at those people. How are they going to even? They can't use it. It's too expensive. So across the board, people are having to make different choices. I mean, I found it quite interesting, and it's something the more affluent people are choosing things like air fryers and induction cookers because they use less energy. They're more efficient in cooking, so now you don't have to use as much oil. But you've got to first have the budget to outlay to change your sort of way of living.
Sophia, it is a very heavy and depressing conversation. Was there any advice that you got that could just give us a little glimmer of hope from any of the people that you interviewed?
Well, for sure. You know, I think that people are really trying to change the way they live. So, again, that expectation thing. Our lovely lady who went and bought the pool tables, and she has grown the most phenomenal garden. You have no idea how self-sustaining she is. She's got chickens and she's got lemons and trees and mint and growing chili. So, you know, she's actually improving her life. Even, the pensioners that I spoke to, they're changing just little things that they do to make things stretch. So they are being positive about it. And I think that's the resilience word that we keep using. Is we all being positive, but you have to, you really have to start changing choices if you're going to make a dent in, you know, and try not to. I think for growing food, I was definitely inspired to grow more vegetables, to try and become more self-sustaining, because we're all very busy, right?
Mm.
And we live like quite hectic lifestyles. We've got to go to work. And so it's easier to just pop off to the shop. But when you look at the cost of that shopping basket, you know, versus you growing your own tomatoes, would be it's a very different space. So I think we have to change that way of being.
Yeah, I think if you have the time and you have the space, it's definitely something worth doing. It's also something you can rope your children into helping with. And it's very rewarding. I must say, in the last few months, I've started growing lettuce and I get huge satisfaction eating my own lettuce.
It does. It changes. I mean, I've never really, not very good at growing things, but I grow things like herbs. And herbs are also very satisfying to grow. And so you can expand from the herb thing if you don't have the green finger. I'm very fortunate. We have I've inherited it with a property as an avocado tree. So what I do is, and it sheds like a lot of avocados. So I give a lot of avocados away.
Lucky you. That's a wonderful gift, actually.
Yeah. So when people visit or whatever, I know it's like almost like gold. So you kind of give it away. And even what was interesting, this lady, Sandra, that was one of the cases, she started growing her avo tree a while back. So now she will have avos in a few years' time. So you kind of have to think in the future as well. But what I did find most depressing, though, I suppose, and that's kind of a bigger picture story, is like people giving up insurances or medical. You know, so that, you know, then how do you compensate to that? Maybe you have to have a healthier lifestyle, you know, to be able to compensate not having a fancy medical aid or whatever. So, and also gym contracts. People are definitely giving up on stuff like that. But then they're taking to exercising and running on the road and going for walks. So there is a shift in how we perceive our lifestyle.
On that note, Sophia Darwood has messaged to say, "Hi, Amy, I'm shopping for cheaper car insurance. I can't afford the $475 anymore. And besides, I hardly drive anymore. Petrol's too expensive. My insurer refuses to reduce my premium. So I found another insurer that's R240 cheaper. It pays to shop around."
Well, exactly that. And I think that what's very interesting is, I'm sure when it comes to insurance and stuff right now, because everyone's feeling the pinch, people are cutting back. Insurance companies have to become more competitive because they're losing their base. You know, so it's a kind of catch-22, because either they're going to up the premiums on people who are left behind, or they have to become more competitive so people stay insured.
Sophia, you did go and interview an economist, Sifiso Skenjana. What advice did he have for consumers, and particularly in light of the fact that July is National Savings Month, but many of us are battling to make it to the end of the month, never mind save?
Well, I think the thing that stood out to me the most was when he said that if you want to stay in the middle income bracket, you kind of need to find, you need a second job.
Yeah.
Basically is the message, whether you're making cakes at home or you are finding your inner creative self, or you are, you know, waitering, or whatever it is that you need to do, you can't rely on a single job to keep your head above water. And he spoke about the gig economy, which I thought was quite interesting. You know, I never quite understood what the gig economy is, but basically it's got to do with moonlighting. So in before digital became the big thing, companies didn't, or corporates didn't, like people moonlighting, doing other jobs.
Yeah.
But now the gig economy has allowed people to do a second job. And corporates are less hectic about whether, you know, when people do that, because they know that they can't keep up with the costs. So people are definitely finding other ways to generate income. And he's saying that that's what we should be doing.
That's a sign of the times when an economist is telling you to get a second job to stay afloat.
For sure.
Sophia, I know you've done these stories before, so you're obviously able to measure year on year what's happening, and it'll be interesting to see what the situation's like this time next year when we have this conversation. But would you say in the last year we've seen one of the most staggering increases?
100%. I mean, I think that what we sort of downplaying a lot is the war in Ukraine. It really has created a serious backlash. And that's going to be here to stay for quite a while. So we've got to really understand that there are external forces that are impacting not only our own sort of struggling economy. And we have to be very mindful that it's not going to just get better. So we almost need to plan ahead in terms of how we're going to cope in the next coming months. Because, you know, as I said in the story, the forecasts by economists are saying that food prices are going to go up by 15 to 20% in the next coming months. You've just had the fuel hike. Oh. I think interest rates are also going to go up as well. So, you know, that's also talk that that's going to happen. So then, which means that your borrowing is becoming more expensive. So we're in a bit of a sort of debt spiral. And I think it's up to each one of us individually to say, what can I cut? How can I cope? How do I mitigate my lifestyle going forward? You know, and maybe gather families around and saying, how do we create extra income as a family?
Sophia, we are almost out of time, but very quickly before we let you go, I just wanted to ask, in your research, did you find that one particular retailer was less expensive than others, or is it much of a muchness where you shop?
No, I'm going to go down a wormhole with that one. So I think that most stores find items that suck you into a store, like a cheaper toilet paper or cheaper, you know, baked greens or whatever it is. And so you go in and then you spend across the board. There is no cheaper retailer.
Okay.
It's also the way one has to be very mindful about the way things are labeled, like two for one, you know, buy two for the price of one, those kinds of things. Sometimes they actually more expensive, or you have to look at the grammages. You actually have to be a very mindful shopper. So it actually takes longer to shop if you're shopping with a budget in mind.
Yeah, yeah. Sophia Ferropides, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and well done on a very, very informative and well put together segment.
Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
And you. That's Sophia Ferropides, carte blanche producer, joining us on the line from Johannesburg.